how many of y'all, and don't answer this question because of peer pressure, answer this question because you really mean it. How many of y'all, and I'm going to let you think about it for 5 seconds, then I'm going to ask you to respond by raising your quiz up in the air. You really, really, don't answer right away, just think about it. You really, really want to learn the Bible. How many of y'all? Okay. Let me explain to you how we want to facilitate that. Number one, when you come here on Sunday, we're always going to go through a passage of the Bible, except like today, we're going to review a lot of information, and you're going to have a lesson plan. Learn, come and listen to the sermon, and you can go home and listen to it again and write down notes, especially in church, of what God is saying to you. And then the great thing for you to do is go read it again a few times and get to understand the story for yourself. At the end of every lesson plan, there's going to be extra credit question. The only credit you get is that between you and God. And that credit, extra credit question is going to be a little rabbit trail I'm going to send you on to look stuff up. Okay, so it's going to give you a little guide to look stuff up so you have a direction to go. And as you look up stuff, you're going to learn how to find stuff in the Bible. Another way is in the small groups. We have questions that we make from the lesson plan that you can get off the internet and study on your own. Additional information on what we're talking about. Then we're going to have the quiz. We're finishing the book of Numbers, and when we finish a book or a series on anything, we have a quiz, as you know, and it has 50 or so, I didn't count this time, but around 50 different facts about the book of Numbers. Now, what you're going to learn today, even if you didn't know anything about the book of Numbers, when you leave here, you're going to know facts that go from the first chapter to the last chapter. You're going to learn a lot about the book of Numbers today. And if you really, really want to put all this together, what you do is you take this quiz that you have, you go home and you start to read up a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about today. I'm going to challenge you at the end to read the book of Numbers. It's 36 chapters over the next couple weeks. 3 chapters a day is 12 days. And you read 3 chapters a day. You could read 10 chapters a day. You could read the whole thing and follow the quiz, all the stuff you're going to walk out of here with in your mind. And as you're reading it, you're going to recognize all these names and places that you're going to learn today in the book. And if you read it, whenever you see a story, read the story several times and learn about what they're talking about. Write notes to yourself. I have verses in here that are in the New Testament as well to connect the Old Testament and the New Testament. So when you leave it today, you're going to have all this information in your head, and you're going to have a great foundation for the book of Numbers and how it applies to your life. If you really want to learn it, while it's fresh in your mind, go home and start reading it on your own. The only way you're really going to learn the Bible is by what you do on your own in conjunction with what you get in church. You can't ever, no matter what church you go to, learn just from coming to church. Matter of fact, if anyone leads you to believe that, they're deceiving you. It's like saying you can get in shape by working out one day a week. It's impossible. You always get more when you do more on your own. And so if you look in your lesson plan, I have it in these questions in groups. The first group, it says book context. Next one says geography in Numbers. If you look at the last number in geography, what's the last word it says? Boaz. Everyone say it. Boaz. Say it. Take a deep breath in. Now say it. Boaz. What's the number next to it? Very good. It says right before Moab, it says Israel sinned sexually at Moab. Well, I'm not going to write the whole sentence out because I don't have enough space. But what I'm going to do is mention that, and then the number 25 is the chapter that that is in. So all through this quiz, you're going to see these numbers in parentheses. Those are the chapters that that information is in. So if you just, for the next couple of weeks, read through this, you're going to know it when you leave here, and you start reading the Bible, looking for this stuff, you're going to go, oh. And then there's New Testament, a few New Testament references in here as well. You can look those up and connect them with the numbers. And so that's my challenge to you. If you really, really want to learn, don't leave anything. I got it. I felt good. That's it. Go start reading every day. And once you, if you do that with this will be a great start for you. You're going to start to learn how to learn from the Bible on your own. That's what you want. You want to be able to pick up your Bible and be able to read something and get something out of it for yourself without having to come to church, without having to listen to a tape. Just you and God. You and God. And if you learn to do that, You're going to be dangerous. Why? Because whenever you get a problem, whenever you have a question, whenever you have pressure, you feel discouraged, boom. You know how to go to the Bible and get encouragement for yourself. That is critical for you to know. Okay? So your challenge after today, you're going to know all this information, is to go back and start learning on your own, talking to people about it, making up stories, reading. Whenever you read, especially in Old Testament, there's always going to be someone in a story, a narrative, someone who represents God and someone who represents the devil, and they're battling. Moses and Pharaoh, a battle. Moses and Korah, we're going to talk about, who challenges leadership. Okay, Moses and all the people who complain against them. All the people that when they were fights, physical wars in the Bible, you have Israel representing God and the other people representing the devil. And sometimes the other people representing God and Israel was representing the devil because they weren't doing the right thing. And God was using their enemies to discipline them. And so you always want to, if you start to read the Bible and understand how it was written, you're going to be able to learn from it real quick. You ever come to church and read something and you go, that don't make any sense to me, and then when I explain it, it's very simple? That's how you can get on your own. We go, I got it. And then you can start telling other people. Are you feeling me on this? Very good. Mr. Dartmouth, you got me? Good. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Pray you bless our time in Jesus' name. Everyone say it. Okay, let's take a deep breath in. Hold it. Okay, hands up. Expand the rib cage. Hold it. How many of y'all know who Bruce Lee is? Okay. Let me demonstrate. Okay, join me now. Let's go. Here we go. Hold it. Oh. Y'all do anything, won't y'all? Okay, here we go. Genesis, the book of what? Beginning? Say beginning.
Beginning.
Genesis, the book of beginning.
Beginning.
Oh, by the way, what's this quiz position? Put your booty back in the seat. Sit up straight. Booty back. Genesis, the book of?
Beginning.
Genesis, the book of?
Beginning.
Now, if you want to say, how can we always say Genesis? What God started in Genesis, man destroyed, God is going to restore in Revelation. It's connected. Man, God created the earth perfect. I'll go left to right for you. God created the earth perfect. Man sinned. Death came into the world. And the whole Bible is the story of God restoring it back to what it was. And it's going to culminate in Revelation. So we always need to know where we started, because we're going to end up in the same place where man is walking with God, the tree of life and the rivers and all that stuff that was in Genesis. Matter of fact, if you read Genesis, and this is, again, what I'm getting ready to tell you is something you can write down and say, I'm going to go look it up myself. You look in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 in the conditions of the world before sin. Just look at the conditions. Then you go to Revelation at the end, you'll see the same conditions. Look for that and you'll trip out. So it's a whole story. Okay? Genesis, the book of?
Yes.
Genesis, the book of?
Yes.
Abraham had a son named?
Isaac.
Say Isaac.
Isaac.
Isaac had a son named?
Jacob.
Say Jacob.
Yes.
Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Say Israel.
Yes.
How many sons did he have?
Wow.
How many sons did he have?
Wow.
How many tribes of Israel are there? How many tribes of Israel are there? Numbers is a book about three things. One is,
numbering.
Say numbering.
Numbering.
Because they took a blank twice.
Census.
They took a what twice?
Census.
They took a what twice?
Census.
And numbers is also about?
Wandering.
It's also about?
Wandering.
Because it's a story about 2 million Jews walking from Mount
Sinai
to the plains of? This is Sinai for sinuses. This is Moab for abs. These are abs. So they go from Moab to the plains of, to Sinai to the plains of Moab. So this book is about people wandering from one place to another. The book is also about?
Complaining.
Say complaining.
Complaining.
Say complaining.
Complaining.
The people complained to Moses seven times. The people complained to Moses how many times?
Seven.
Moses complained once. And Miriam and Moses' brother complained against Moses once because he had an African wife. Nine complaints. But nine. The people complained seven times. They complained as soon as they left Mount Sinai to complain. As soon as they left. And then they complained the whole trip. And when they got to the plains of Moab, they stopped complaining. I spent like an hour and a half yesterday morning writing down all about the complaints. This is what I'm talking about. If you just went through the book of Numbers and looked at all the complaints and wrote down everything that happened, there was always a complaint. God judged them. Moses prayed, and the judgment stopped. And if you look at the conditions of why they complained and what happened when they complained, sometimes fire killed them, sometimes a plague killed them, sometimes snakes bit them, all these different things. Okay, you just read that and see what God shows you. Just see what God shows you. Just try it out for fun. And you'll be amazed at how much you learn. So my point is that, but the book is about complaining. So the book's about three things. One is what?
Hungry.
Say it again.
Hungry.
About this?
Hungry.
And about?
Complaining.
About what?
Complaining.
Let's do geography. Say geography.
Geography.
Does anybody study geography here? You study geography? Anybody else? Okay, geography and numbers. Where'd the trip start from? After 11 days, they got to a place with two words.
Kadesh.
Very good. Say Kadesh.
Kadesh.
Say Kadesh.
Barnea.
Barnea. Say Kadesh Barnea.
Kadesh Barnea.
Say Kadesh Barnea.
Kadesh Barnea.
After 11 days, they got to a place called what?
Kadesh Barnea.
You got to Kadesh Barnea. Aaron, Moses' brother, died on Mount Or. Mount what?
Or.
Mount what?
Or.
Mount what?
Or.
Moses died on Mount what?
Nebo.
Look at that. Y'all remember that? Mount Nebo. That was from a year ago. We did that a year ago. I kind of referenced it here and now, but we did it a year. Mount Nebo. They ended up in the plains of what? Now, when they got to the plains of Moab, remember, 2.5 tribes wanted to stay on the east side. They didn't want to go over to the Jordan, over the Jordan into the promised land. And they wanted to stay in a place called Gilead. Say Gilead.
Gilead.
With a hard G, say Gilead.
Gilead.
Say it three times. Gilead, Gilead, Gilead.
Gilead, Gilead, Gilead.
Say it like a DJ.
Gilead.
Very good. So, start at Mount what? 11 days they came to where? Say it with confidence. Say it with conviction. Say it like you love Jesus. Aaron died at Mount what? And Moses died where? And they ended up in plains of what? And the 2.5 tribes wanted to stay where? What? Say Gilead.
Gilead.
Say Gilead.
Gilead.
Now, this trip was led by a man named what?
Moses.
The first five books of the Bible are called the Torah, called the Pentateuch, the Law of Moses, the Book of Moses. Moses wrote them all. So Moses is the man, the first five books of the Bible. He dies right at the beginning of the sixth book. Moses, the Bible says, was the most humble man in the world. He was the most what? He was the most what?
Humble.
He spoke to God blank to blank.
Face to face.
Say it again.
Face to face.
As a man speaks with his what?
Friend.
Say friend.
Friend.
Say friend.
Friend.
God, Moses was the most what man?
Humble.
And he spoke what to what?
Face to face.
With God as a man speaks with his what?
Friend.
And he led the... Come on now, don't get lazy on me. Moses was the most what man?
Humble.
And he spoke to God what to what?
Face to face.
As a man speaks with his what?
Friend.
And he led the people on a journey from a place of spiritual... Two B words. Spiritual what?
Bondage.
To its place of spiritual what?
Blessing.
Say blessing.
Blessing.
Say blessing.
Blessing.
Why are we studying this book? Because we are all on a journey from a place of spiritual bondage to a place of spiritual blessing. You've heard the term, you can take someone out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the person. And by the way, there are white people in ghettos, black people in ghettos, Hispanic people in ghettos. It's not a racial thing. And it ain't even an inner city thing. It's a mentality. You could take someone out of one community. It's like when you get saved, it doesn't mean you're automatically perfect. It's just you'll know that when you go in the parking lot. So we are all on a journey on how to be transformed. So in this book, he took these slaves out of Egypt. They were slaves for 400 years. And now he's training them into being a nation of Israel to represent him. But they are trying to figure out how to do that. So Moses is their leader, saying, here's the law, here's what's right and wrong, here's how you do things. And they're trying to learn this. They're fighting Moses and resisting Moses. So as we're reading the book, we're learning about the struggle of going from being in bondage and having a slave mentality, we're in bondage to our sin, to being free. Because when you get saved, you don't realize that you're free, but you're free. Matter of fact, God sets you free from when someone curses at you. You don't have to curse back, but you don't know that. You think you do. When someone talks behind your back, you don't have to jam them up. You can pray for them. But you don't, you may think, you may hear that, but you don't really know you have the ability and freedom to do that. And so God has set you free to act different. And so one of the reasons we come to church, read the Bible, is to learn about how we're supposed to act different. And he has set you free to enable you and empower you to act different. So this book is about taking a group of slaves. They were slaves for 400 years in Egypt and saying, now I'm going to make you into a nation so you can be free to serve me. But they don't get it. So they're struggling with their new identity. Same thing with us. So that's what the book is about, is this journey to a place of being spiritual free. Amen? 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 Amen. Say it one more time while I look what I'm going to say next.
Amen.
Okay. Let's talk about numbers. Number two. Say two.
Two.
There were two blank people walking through the wilderness. Two what?
Million.
Say million.
Million.
Say million.
Million.
Say million.
Million.
There were two leaders. One was Moses and Aaron. Who were the two leaders?
Moses and Aaron.
Moses had a brother named?
Aaron.
Moses had a brother named?
Aaron.
Aaron's brother was?
Moses
and Aaron had a sister named
Miriam
or Mary. Say Miriam.
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 Miriam had a brother named Moses. Only two guys walked out of Egypt and went to the promised land. Who were they? Say Joshua.
Joshua.
Say Caleb.
Caleb.
Say Joshua.
Joshua.
Say Caleb. When they left Sinai, they got to a place called Kadesh Barnea in how many days?
11.
How many days?
11.
How many days?
11.
Everyone say 11.
11.
How many sons did Jacob have?
12.
How many tribes of Israel were there?
12.
How many spies did they send into the promised land?
12.
One for every tribe. One representative for every family. And his job was to go in and spy out the land to see if the land was what God said. How many spies went in?
12.
How many spies came out?
12.
How many days did they spy out the promised land?
40.
Everyone say 40. Everyone say 40.
40.
40 is the number of testing. When you do something 40 days, the test is over. How many days did Goliath talk trash when David killed him?
40.
How many days did Goliath talk trash when David killed him?
40.
How many days did Jesus fast in the wilderness?
40.
How many days did Moses fast on the mountain with God?
40.
How many days did Elijah fast?
40.
How many days did it rain with Noah?
40.
Keep saying with confidence. How many days?
40.
How many weeks is a woman pregnant?
40.
How many days before a baby in the womb gets brain waves?
40.
How many ounces in a 40 ounce? How do y'all know that? I told you. Why did I bring that up? Because when you hit the 40 ounce, if you drink the whole thing, you die at the end. How many days they spot the promised land?
40.
When they came out of the promised land, 12 spies, one representative from each of the 12 tribes, which will hold 2 million people. How many spies said we shouldn't go take the land?
Ten.
How many spies said we shouldn't take the land?
Ten.
And they said we shouldn't take the land because they were what in the land?
Giants.
Whenever God calls you to do something, there's always going to be a giant obstacle. Does that mean you shouldn't go?
No.
Every time God challenges you to do something or be something, there's always going to be someone in your life telling you, don't do it. They're going to say, but what about this? But what about this? But what about, but. If you're, when I did this message on this story, which I love this story, one of the points in the lesson plan, if it wasn't typed in, it was written in, that some people's butts are too big to get into heaven. I know I need to pray, but I know I need to go to church, but I know I need Jesus in my life, but. Don't let your butts lead you. God, that's why God put the butt in the back. Right, Doc? The butt's in the back, right, Doc? This is true. Everybody's butt's in the back. So when God calls you to do something, you're always going to have a butt. Well, what about this? That's fine. You always need to count the cost. You always need to calculate what it's going to take. But that's not what makes the decision. When these 10, when these spies came out, 10 said, the land, listen to what they said. The land is exactly what God said. But, oh, hey, Is it what God said? Yes. There was a problem. God is not going to tell you, I want you to go do this and there's going to be no challenges. That is not life. It don't happen. We're building a building in Point Loma. We bought two buildings, 279,000 square feet. One of the buildings is a football field and a half long, three stories high. Actually, it's the size of Noah's Ark. It really is. Noah's Ark was 450 feet long. This building is 444 feet long. It's that shorter than Noah's Ark from my fingertips. Did you know your fingertip is your height? So this is 5'11 and 7/8" from right there to right there. That's how tall I am, 5'11 and 7/8". So the building is this much shorter than Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark is three stories high. Our building is three stories high. Noah's Ark is 45 feet high. Our building is 45 feet high. Noah's Ark was built to save people from the first destruction of the earth, which is water. The building we bought was built to withstand an atomic bomb fire the second time God destroys the earth. It's amazing. We cut this building in half, and we're building a sanctuary, a room about six times the size of this room. No, one, two, three, nine times the size of this room. Now, that building is costing tens of millions of dollars. And when we first found that building, the church was 1 year old. And people said, your church is too young, got too many young people, and you don't have any money. You know what God said? Get the building. Get the building. And they said, what are you going to get the money? We'll get the money. If you wait for everything to be perfect, you'll never do anything. Right, Doc? You won't. It's just because he's a doctor, you think we believe everything he says. I'm serious. When God tells you to go do something, you say, God, are you speaking? Yes. There's always, you know, till the day you die, there's going to be someone telling you you shouldn't have done it. That's life. But you just got to make sure God told you, and you make sure you go by faith. Now, watch what happened to prove my point. These 10 people came out and said, we shouldn't go to 2 million people. Those 2 million people said, oh, Moses brought us out here to kill him. Kill us. Let's kill Moses. Moses is like, are you kidding me? 11 days we were at Mount Sinai. 11. Everyone say 11 days.
11.
Say 11 days.
11.
Say Kadesh Barnea.
Kadesh Barnea.
11 days. We could be in the promised land 11 days. Let's go right now. That's how quick God was going to bless them. And they said, we shouldn't go. So you know what God did? God said, okay, you 10 guys who just poisoned everybody, I'm killing you. And he killed them right there. You got people in your life who are negative? Get rid of them. I don't mean like, you can't kill them. You know, put them in a suitcase and that, or take them to a farm and try to cut them in half. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about, you just need to kind of like, talk to the hand. Get them out of your life. Get them out of your life. Pray for them, but you can't let them poison you. You can't let them poison you. God has amazing things for you. Really. Amazing. When I say amazing, I don't mean you're going to be a millionaire, you're going to have this. That you are going to be doing exactly what God has called you to do. You know what I'm saying, girlfriend? Do you know why? Do you know why? One thing I love about Discovery Channel is when you watch Discovery Channel, Animal Planet, or whatever, I watch some shows religiously. For reals. Here's why. When you see, especially I love when they do, like in the beginning, when they show all these different animals and plants and flowers open up real fast. Bam, 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 real good color. Because God made that stuff perfect. It's like I look at a tiger. It's so beautiful. Why people kill them, it breaks my heart. Beautiful, powerful animals. God made it perfect. No two are the same. A tiger can only be a tiger. Doesn't know anything about, has no ambition to be anything but a tiger. If you leave the wild kingdom alone, it'll be fine. It'll be perfect. You've never gone into a forest that man has not been in and said it's messed up. They're all perfect. Every ecosystem without man being there is perfect because everything operates perfectly how God designed it. And if stuff dies, it decays in the ground, it's recycled. And my point is this, is that when you and I get in the sweet spot where God created us, it's not only physical, emotional, mental, social, it's spiritual. That's what God wants for you. But there's always going to be someone in your life going, well, what about this? What about this? what about this? And you'll be like, yeah, huh? They just destroyed you. They are not worth what you lose out on. They are not worth what you lose out on. You need to get them out of your life. God took these 10 guys. He said, you poison everybody. He said, I'm killing you. He killed them right there on the spot. And all the people who believe them, all the people who say, we don't want to, we want to go back to Egypt. God said, oh, is that right? Now quiz. Listen, how many days they spot the land?
40.
How many days they spot the land?
40.
How many days did it take them to get from Mount Sinai to the Kadesh Barnea? They could have been in the promised land 11 days, right? You know what God said? I'm going to make you walk 1 year for every day they were in there, 40 years. You're going to walk until all of you die. That's why they walked 40 years. It wasn't a 40-year trip. It was a 40-year death sentence because they didn't believe. You do not want to be discouraged by somebody negative and be allowed punished because you believe them. What is that worth? Not only do you believe them, but you punish yourself. And what I mean by punish yourself, you cheat yourself out of walking into the blessing. We could easily say, okay, we're not going to get the building until we get the money. We would have never got the money. Why are you going to get money if we don't have a building? And someone else would have bought it and we would have been out of building. Try to go find building space in San Diego. Do you know that at our building, and this is gospel truth, whenever you have a permit for a room, let's say you have 1,000 seats. You have to come up with parking for one-third of those seats. We have $30-plus million worth of parking already built in our new building we didn't have to build. $30-plus million worth of parking that was already part of the site. If we went and bought a build a building that place somewhere else, we'd have to build a parking. It's $10,000 a parking space. You didn't know that. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I was wrong. After you buy the land... You buy the land, then you pay 10 grand a spot. If you have a building structure, a parking structure, it's 12 to 15,000 a space. That's how expensive parking is. Yeah. When you drive by a parking lot, that parking lot right there where you'll park, that parking lot there is $6 million of asphalt and parking. If you built it today, 600 spaces. Oh, yeah. We don't have to pay where we're moving. We have 1,667 parking spaces that are allowed to us on the weekend. Guess what? It's multiply that and then buy the land. You're talking $30-something million that God just gave us. And we share it because when we're not there, other people use it during the day, blah, blah, blah. My point is this. Thank you. When God says go, there's always going to be people saying, I don't know. And you got to say, God, are you sure? Yes, I got it covered. God, are you sure? I got it covered. We going. But what about this? Be quiet. Pray, write it down, we'll talk later. But don't discourage people. When you hear, we'll get to the gossip later. Leadership. Everyone say Korah. You don't want to be a Korah. Korah went and behind Moses' back, and he got the 250 leaders of Israel to go against Moses. And they went against Moses to challenge his leadership. You do not want to challenge and gossip and confront in an unbiblical way a person who talks face to face with God. Don't do that. And because you really don't know who talks face to face with God, you want to be careful. I'm not a T.O. fan. Cowboys lost today to the Eagles. Now, I'm not a T.O. fan, but I do not know his emotional condition. I do not know his mental state. I do not know his family upbringing. I don't know anything about him. I just know what you hear on TV. So therefore, I need to pray for him. We don't know what people go through. We don't know. And so you always want to be careful to criticize somebody because not only do you not know them, you don't know what God's doing in their life. And you don't know what's going to happen at the end of the story of their life. And it's your life as well. So here's Moses talking to God face to face. The man speaks to his friend. Korah says, you know what? I don't think Moses should be in charge. And I don't know that his brother should be in charge. Who put them in charge? So Korah goes around behind people's backs and say, hey, will you join me? We're going to confront Moses. Yeah. Hey, will you come with me? We're going to confront Moses. 250 leaders who went to confront Moses. Would you confront a guy who talks face to face with God right in front of you? with a pillar of fire coming down. Moses walks in, talks to God, thundering and lightning. He walks out with his face glowing. This is what happened. And these people saw that and went, ah, here don't mean nothing. Woo, woo. So Korah says, Moses, we don't think you should be the man. We discussed this. We decided. Moses goes, is that right? Moses don't have to argue. And what Moses did was ingenious, and what you should do anytime someone confronts you, just pray. He said, Korah, hold up. And he got in his face. He says, tomorrow, bring all your boys, and we're going to go talk to God. It'd be like all y'all come and say, Miles, we don't want you to be a pastor anymore. Okay, let's pray. We'll want to talk to God. And whoever's wrong is going to die. Are you feeling me on this? This is Moses. And you have to understand, here's a background that Moses, that Korah might not have realized. Moses is like, I didn't ask for this job. Matter of fact, God called me. I said no 5 times. He did it. Read Exodus chapters 3, 4, and 5. Moses says, I don't want to go. I can't talk. I don't know who you are. I don't know who they are. I don't know what to say. I stutter. I ain't going. 5 times. He says, matter of fact, Moses said, look, in chapter 11, I asked God to kill me. So maybe God's going, maybe this is the end of my job. Thank God I'm going to deal with you knuckleheads anymore. And by the way, you want to be careful whose job you want. You want your boss's job? No, you don't. You don't know your boss's job. You don't. You want to be your parent and do your parenting like you think you should? Don't even think about it. You have no clue. You don't. Right, doctor? Damn, I have no clue. I don't know why my mother, she's always worrying about me. She's tripping. She don't know me. Let me tell you something. I was your age, and I'm now my age. You're clueless. And the only way you're going to know I'm telling you the truth is when you have a child. And when you have a baby, the first thing you're going to do, if you are a mature Christian person, you're going to see that baby. Mommy, I'm sorry. Call your mother up and tell her you're sorry for all the pain and evil that you brought in her life. Korah comes to Moses and Korah says, Moses, you ain't the man. Moses says, okay, tomorrow we're going to see God. They come back. Next day they have a little service. They bring a little incense. And Moses standing there. Korah standing there with his family and all the 250 people. And God says from heaven,
Moses, step back.
Moses like, it's on now. It's on. The earth opened up and swallowed Korah. Say swallow.
Swallow.
The earth did what to Korah?
Swallow.
The earth did what to Korah?
Swallow.
You do not want to be a Korah. The 250 people, fire came down and killed them. They died by what?
Fire.
They died by what?
Fire.
Let me ask you a question. If you were one of the other 2 million people standing around watching this, would you ever say anything against Moses again? You know what they did as soon as this happened? They started criticizing Moses. Moses, you killed those people. Moses says, are you out of your mind? A plague went out and 14,700. More people died. The 250 people, they were the leaders. They were the pastors, if you will. Because I don't care. Y'all going to die anyway. Is God going to strike you dead? Not necessarily. But you do not want to be messing with God. You do not want to be messing with little kids. The Bible says little kids have angels that see the face of God every day. Those people who mess with little kids, they're going to burn in hell, in a hotter place in hell than the average Joe. That's a fact. Hell ain't the same for everybody. Because every sin ain't the same. Some sins are worse than other sins. The Bible says sexual sins are worse because you sin against your own body. Whew. Don't mess with God. And these biology people will tell you that there are certain rules that govern our bodies and certain rules that govern our minds. And when you violate those rules, bad things happen every time. They'll tell you that. Why? Because God set systems in place. And those systems cannot be violated. And so Korah came, and the Bible says the earth did what to him?
Slaughter.
The earth did what to him?
Slaughter.
And how did 250 people die? They died by what? And what was the other group number that people died?
14,000.
Say 14,000.
14,000.
And 700.
700.
700.
700.
Okay, Jesus in the Old Testament, Jesus in the book of Numbers, there's eight times that we see a picture of Jesus that we know about, at least, and I'm going to give you one, is that the people camped when they camped in the shape of a cross. How many tribes were there?
12.
How many tribes were there?
12.
What's 12 divided by 4?
3.
Every one of those sections you see in that cross where there's a picture, there were three tribes. And in the first chapters of the book, it tells how many people were in each one of those sections. And if you draw a rectangle in proportion to each size, the rectangle to your right is the biggest number of people. It's like 186,000 something. The rectangles on the sides are right around 150 something thousand. And the rectangle at the top is like 118,000. It's something like that. And so God had them camp in the shape of a cross the 40 years they were walking through the wilderness. Ain't that a trip? Now, if you don't believe me, just go read the Bible. It's in the Bible. Draw it out. Figure it out. Do some math. Okay? So the Bible said the people camped in the shape of a? The people camped in the shape of a? The people camped in the shape. The people camped in the shape of a what? One of the times they complained, snakes bit them. And when the snakes bit them, they started dying. And God told Moses, I want you to build a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And if you look at the bronze serpent, you'll be healed. You ever see that symbol? It's Doc. You know that symbol. What is that symbol? Right. And is it the logo for the American Medical Association? And it represents what? Healing. Represents healing. Guess where it came from? Chapter 21 of the Bible. Chapter 21. Why? Because did you notice, Doc? You do this very good. When the snakes bit the people, they go, ah, I'm dying. And they said, look at the pole. And they went, oh, I'm living now. Now, how do we know it has anything to do with Jesus? Because Jesus himself said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believed on me would not perish but have eternal life. The very next verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one son life. The serpent on the pole was a sinless version of the sinful snake on the ground. The Savior on the cross was a sinless version of the sinner on the ground. If you looked at the sinless version of the snake, you got healed. If you look at the sinless version of the Messiah, you got healed of your sin and believed. It's not a coincidence. Jesus said that. That's what it was there for. Now, also in the Bible, the Bible says that manna came down in the form, bread came down in the form of manna. Bread came down in the form of what? Bread came down in the form of what?
Man.
Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the what of life?
Bread.
I'm the what of life?
Bread.
The Bible says water came out of a rock. Water came out of a what?
Rock.
When Moses hit the rock, the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says that Jesus said Jesus is the spiritual what?
Rock.
Say rock.
Rock.
What's the name of the church?
Rock.
Jesus is the spiritual rock from which we drink. Jesus is the spiritual what from which we drink?
Rock.
Spiritual what?
Rock.
Say heifer.
Heifer.
Heifer is a cow that hasn't had a baby yet. And in chapter 19, I believe, Moses is told, take the cow, kill it, burn it, and take the ashes of a red heifer, mix it with water, and when someone becomes unclean because they touch a dead body, you wash them and cleanse them with the ashes of a red heifer. The New Testament says that just as the ashes of a red heifer cleanse, how much more will the blood of Christ cleanse? The pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke that led them through the wilderness, Christ spoke from the pillar of fire and he judged them from the pillar of fire and he gave them light because he's the light of the world. He's the what of the world?
Light.
He's the what of the world?
Light.
He's the what of life?
Bread.
He's the what of life?
Bread.
Faith. He's a what of life?
Faith.
Say angel of the Lord.
Angel.
What of the Lord?
Angel.
What of the Lord?
Angel.
If you remember the story about Balaam, he came in on his donkey and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord in the capital A in the Old Testament is Jesus. How do we know that? Many ways. One, that when Joshua was confronted by the angel of the Lord, Joshua bowed and worshiped the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said, take off your shoes because you stand on holy ground. That's what God told Moses in the burning bush. When Balaam in the book of Numbers saw the angel of the Lord, the donkey ran into the field because he didn't want to confront him. And he hit the donkey. Then the donkey crushed his foot against the wall and he hit the donkey. Then the donkey sat down and said, I ain't confronting the angel of the Lord because I see God. And then the Bible says Balaam saw the angel of the Lord after he had a conversation with his donkey. And Balaam bowed and worshiped. Whenever you see someone in the Bible bow and worship an angel, that's God. Why? Because in Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 20, John, who wrote the book of Revelation, bowed to an angel, and the angel said, don't worship me, I'm only a servant like you. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius bowed before Peter, and Peter said, get up, I'm only a servant like you. Nobody accepted worship except God. So when the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, when Balaam worshiped, he says, that's right, bow down. And he said, your ways are sinful before me. We don't sin before angels, we sin before God. And he opened his eyes so he would see him. He opened the mouth of the donkey. Angels don't do that. God does that. And so what happened is you have the angel of the Lord in the book of Numbers. Say, angel of the Lord.
Angel of the Lord.
What of the Lord?
Angel.
Okay, let's do a little review. The people camped in the shape of a? The people camped in the shape of a of what? Bread came down in the form of what?
Man.
Jesus is the what of life?
Man.
He is also the what of the world?
Man.
He's the what of the world?
Man.
And the Bible says just as the ashes of a red what? A red what?
Heaven.
Red what?
Heaven.
Say it three times.
Heaven.
Say, I'm going to say cities of, you say refuge. Cities of?
Refuge.
Cities of what?
Refuge.
If someone killed somebody by accident and they were a man slayer, manslaughter, unintentional murder, if you kill somebody by accident, you could run to one of these six cities and be safe. If somebody in the family of the person you killed, they were called the Avenger of Blood. If they caught you before you got to the city of refuge, they can kill you. So if you kill someone by accident, you had to run to the city of refuge. And if you got into the city of refuge on time, you would live and you were safe. Jesus is our city of refuge. The Bible says that everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. We all have a death sentence on our head. But we go to Christ, our city of refuge, for safety. Now, in the Bible, you were in the city of refuge until the high priest, the highest religious official in Israel, until he died, you could stay in the city of refuge. Our high priest never dies, Jesus. So we're always safe. City of what?
Refuge.
City of what?
Refuge.
City of what?
Refuge.
Okay, let's review the whole thing. Y'all ready? Sit up straight. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Turn to the person next to you. Say, are you ready?
Ready.
I see the traffic out back. The Charger game's over. Did they win? Does anybody know?
Yes.
They won?
Yeah.
Everyone got on the phone. Isn't that amazing? What was the score? 23-13. Yeah. How about the Padres? Give me a second. She can check it. Huh? There's texting in church? Who's texting in church? She's not texting. She got ESPN phone. That's better. That's okay. Okay. Genesis, the book of?
Beginning.
Genesis, the book of?
Beginning.
Genesis, the book of?
Beginning.
Abraham had a son named?
Isaac
had a son named? Jacob's name was changed to?
Israel.
He had how many sons?
12.
He had how many sons?
12.
Numbers about three things. First is? Verse is, next one is, next one is, and Numbers is about a journey from a place called Mount to the place called, and it was led by a man named
Moses.
Was the most what? And he spoke to God what? As a man speaks to his. They started at Mount what? They got to a place after 11 days called. How long did it take them to get to Kadesh? How many spies in the promised land? How many days they spied the land? How many spies came out? How many spies said we shouldn't take it? How many spies said we should take it? What were their names? Say Joshua. Say Joshua. Say Caleb. Who were the two leaders of the whole trip? Who was their sister? Who was the oldest? No, okay. Okay, okay. How many spies said we shouldn't go in the land? How many spies said we shouldn't go in the land? How many spies said we shouldn't go in the land? What did God do to them because they poisoned the people's minds? They said we shouldn't go in the land because they were what in the land? So God judged them and had them walk around for how many total years? Very good. How many years from Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab, though? No, how many years? I'm sorry. It was 11 days of Kadesh, but they got punished. So they walked around for a total of 38 and a half. I may make that clear. They were there 11 days. God said, oh, you don't believe me? Okay, you're going to walk around for 40 total, but that includes the time from Egypt. So 38 and a half years. And it don't matter how long, because none of y'all going to make it. I'm going to kill you. That's messed up. Now, some of y'all are walking that journey right now. You've been fighting God, fighting God, fighting God. And you're walking around. You ain't going nowhere. You were at a different church last week, and you were at a different church month before looking for some magic. You were with this girl, you were with that guy, you were with this girl, you had that club, you're in TJ, blah, 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 looking for some magic. It don't exist. You're just wandering around. You don't have to wander around anymore. See, these Jews were stuck. There's no way they could have gotten in. They had to go as a group. You can establish your relationship with Christ on your own. Same principle, but a little better program. Okay? How many years they walk around from Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab? I'm sorry. How many years they walk around from plains of Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab? Okay, let me try it again. How many years they walk from Egypt to the plains of Moab? 40. Everyone say 40. Okay, but now here, a year and a half later, they're at Mount Sinai. So how long did this trip take? 38 and a half. Say 38 and a half. Say it again. How many spies came out and said we shouldn't go in? How many spies said we shouldn't go in? And they said we shouldn't go in because there was what in the land? What in the land? Get the negative people out of your life. Get negative people out of your life. Korah confronted God, and God did what to him? And he did, the earth did what to his family? The 250 who followed Korah, God killed them by what? And then a plague went out and killed how many more people? Now let me tell you something. I promise you, you go to anybody who's been a Christian for 30 years, they do not know those information you just told you. They don't know 14,700 people. If you just go to somebody, just go up to your parents who are Christian. How many of y'all have Christian parents? Call them up tonight. Say, Mom, do you know who Korah is? How did his family die? How many people got killed after his family got killed? And how'd they die? And then after that, how many people died in the plague? They were like, I don't know. Let me look it up. And how's school? No, don't change the subject, Mom. Call me back when you figure it out. Click. She will be so happy that that's what you want to talk about. They don't know that. And then if your mother says, so what's the point? You need to tell her what the point is. Don't go, I don't know. If someone ever shares Bible verses with you and you ask them, what's the point? What does it got to do with me? They can't tell you. Tell them, don't talk to you about verses anymore unless they know what it means. It don't do any good. The Bible says. What does it mean? I don't know, but the Bible says. Don't do that. Say, this is what it means. Don't confront people that talk to God. Don't confront people unbiblically who talk to God. Do it God's way. The Bible says the earth did what to Korah's family? 250 people got killed by what?
Fire.
How many other people got killed by the plague?
14,700.
Very good. Jesus in the book of Numbers. The people camped in the shape of a what?
Cross.
Now, I know some of y'all don't believe that. Look it up.
You got to think.
Look it up. God's not going to tell you, okay, add these numbers. If you do this, it's a cross. He wants you to figure it out. Ask the doctor. Ask the chlorophyll man. Now, for real, Mr. Brian, right? Chlorophyll man. Now, let me tell you how God is. You have to understand God's mentality. God has a mentality. Here's what he does. He puts all this stuff on the earth, and he puts us on the earth. He says, figure it out. Figure it out. The chlorophyll's been being made since the beginning of time. And we go and figure it out. Krebs cycle. Mr. Dartmouth, you know about the Krebs cycle, right? It's complicated, ain't it? Mr. Dartmouth, it's complicated, ain't it? How about Ms. Biochemistry, technical person? You know about the Krebs cycle, right? What was that degree you got in? Physiology and Earth Science. You know about the Krebs cycle? Near what? What's your name, girl? Let Serena tell me. Serena, what's your degree in? Neuroscience. So you discern science of the nerves and the brain and the autonomic and the synonymic and the is that right? I'm kind of right, right? You know about the Krebs cycle? It's complicated, ain't it? It's like so deep. Have we figured it out yet? And what does the Krebs cycle do? It's a description of what process? Yeah, I mean, is it energy transformation? Okay, it's deep, ain't it? It's complicated. You have to be educated, and you have to have knowledge. What's the point? God said, figure that out. Figure that out. I'm not going to make a plan to you. Figure this out. Study it. Read it. Think about it. Pray. Write stuff down. Don't be just thinking, oh, it's too hard. That's dumb. I was watching some show yesterday, and this dude in some jungle, it was some Spanish country. He was speaking Spanish, and he was walking around going, he was a biologist, and he was saying this, and he was catching bugs, and he's like, if we catch one of these bugs, maybe we can get the venom, and then we can make the venom into an antibody, and so we can heal people. Wow. So God put this bug in the jungle and hoping someone's going to go and find this little bug and get the poison and make an antibody so we can heal people and from cancer. I'm like, because God gave us a brain. So he puts stuff in the Bible and he says, go find it. Find it. Now, for some of y'all, I'm just going to say, Jesus died, confess your sin. It's easy. But then he's going to put some other stuff in here that if you dig. Matter of fact, let me give you one of those things. When Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and they built an idol of gold calf, and they were worshiping the gold calf, and they said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Moses, God got mad. And God said, I'm going to kill everybody. He said, no, don't kill everybody. And then the Levites killed 3,000 Jews. That's how the Levites got set aside to be God's ones that serve in the tabernacle. Say 3,000. When the law, the Ten Commandments, were given, 3,000 people died. When the law was given to Moses, 3,000 people died. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 people got saved. The law kills. Grace gives life. The whole reason we have the law is to expose sin. Same number of people. The people camped in the shape of a
cross.
The people camped in the shape of a
cross.
Bread came down in the form of
man.
Bread came down in the form of
man.
Jesus is the what of life.
Bread.
Jesus was in the pillar of fire because he's the what of the world.
Life.
He's the what of the world. God told Moses to kill and burn a red what?
Heifer.
A red what?
Heifer.
Red what?
Heifer.
Say it three times.
Heifer.
When the people confronted Moses, they got bit by snakes. So God told Moses to lift up a bronze what?
Servant.
A bronze what?
Servant.
A bronze what?
Servant.
Jesus was lifted up. Balaam was confronted by the blank of the Lord.
Angel.
The blank of the Lord.
Angel.
The Bible says water came out of the rock. And the Bible says Jesus is our spiritual what from which we drink. Spiritual what?
Rock.
Last one. There were six cities of what?
Refuge.
Say it loud.
Refuge.
Say it like you're proud.
Refuge.
Give yourself a hand. Tired. Here is your challenge. Take that quiz. All the stuff that you know. You don't want to forget it. Read it before you go to bed. Start reading the book of Numbers. Forget your friends. Don't worry about looking corny. If they're reading the Bible, go, "You reading the Bible?" Say, "Yeah, what's it to you?" Trying to become a Christian. I learn how to be polite later. Get out my face. Not for real. Just, you know, yeah, I'm reading the Bible. What's the problem? Oh, no, no, I ain't trying to, you know, just leave me alone then, okay? Hey, who said that? Who is that girl who said that? Are you the same girl that was sitting over there and said that? Oh, you darling. I love you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to read the book of Numbers. You, and if you really want to read it over and over, get out of your head your hatred for homework. Don't associate this with, "Oh, I got to do this." Get time alone, quiet, or some of you have to have a little music. Get some. I have these CDs of rain and thunder. I do. In my office, I have these speakers in the ceiling, and I put the rain, and it's like, and then you hear, and it's like, y'all think I'm lying? It's cool. It's called something. And so it's like a thunderstorm in my office. It could be sunny out. One time it was really raining. It was a trip because it was raining in my room and outside. But it's like, and then it'll go, you'll hear, whoa, and then you hear. And then you hear a little bird. And then you hear a little piano. So I get in the mood, okay. So here's how you read it. You want to read it? First thing you want to do is you want to go. And you want to take about a minute and just sit quietly and slow your life down. Pen and paper and start reading real slow. You write something down. Take your time and say, "God, talk to me. I'm telling you, it will change your life." Do not read the Bible like this. You miss it. Okay? Are you with me? That's your challenge. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Don't look up here. You may die if you see what's going on up here right now. Lord, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for being a loving God. Oh, thank you that you are so patient. I pray you bless us. Thank you that you give us so many chances to be faithful. And I pray that lives will be changed this week as they read the Bible. I pray lives will be changed. I pray lives will be changed. Lord, we pray for our building being built. We just thank you so much for the opportunity. And I pray it will be a testimony to how faithful you are, how much we need to trust you. And I pray it would encourage other people to trust you in their life for impossible things. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And And Lord, I pray this week people's lives are changed because they're going to learn how to study and find things in the Bible. And they're going to get addicted to it where they just can't search it enough. I pray you raise up pastors and evangelists from this church. People who are on fire for Jesus. Thank you so much for being good to us. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.